Robots. Tell
me about
this. What's going on there?
Have you noticed that they've been coming forever? Have you noticed that? Ever since the 1950s, we've been expecting them to turn up and be cleaning our dishes, and you know, we'll have a robot like they did in the Jetsons. And
in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, they just haven't turned up. Have you noticed that? The best we've got is a Roomba.
Yeah, but they're coming.
Well, yeah. And
how about robots that can lie?
Well, we've got robots that can do something. Well, we're beginning to get robots that can do something called the false belief test, which means they can understand that you believe something different to them. But this is, I've got to be very careful here, because as soon as we talk about robots being intelligent, people immediately leap to like the Terminator or the Matrix and go, oh, it's all going to be terrible. Right, they're going to take us over. We're a very, very
long way. And make their own little robots.
Exactly. We're a very long way off anything like that. And actually, I came to the conclusion that we really don't have to worry about our robotic overlords taking us over. One of the reasons that robotics, in the sense of them being sort of sociable, useful, friendly creatures that we've imagined in science fiction, coming to pass, is because, Steven Pinker makes this point very eloquently. He says, when it comes to robotics, we've learned that the easy things are difficult and the difficult things are easy. And by that, he means that it's relatively easy to get a computer to beat Garry Kasparov at chess. Okay, I mean, it's not, it's not fast, really, really easy, but it's pretty easy. But it's very hard to get a robot to recognize a face or walk across a room without hitting an obstacle or, do anything that an animal could do, find shade, go and plug itself in, that kind of stuff. And it's because as human beings, we actually find those things difficult ourselves when we're born. And we take a long, long time to learn how to walk. You look at a child walking, it takes, it makes thousands and thousands of mistakes. Natural language, learning to speak, we make thousands and thousands, and we still do, as any underestimated president will tell you. We have to go through this process of learning in order to become fully functioning, sociable, intelligent human beings. And what robotics has now realized is, if you want to create a robot that does that, you have to take it through the same learning process. So now, where I went to the personal robotics lab at MIT, they're putting human beings and ordinary human beings, not robots, at the center of the research, bringing them in and going, how is this robot reacting with a normal human being? Does the robot understand the human being? Does the human understand it being the robot? Are they using the same social cues? And I must admit, I saw a robot while I was there that, it sort of shrugged its shoulders when it didn't understand something. It cocked its head to one side. It blinked occasionally like human beings do, even though it didn't need to blink because it's got cameras for eyes. But it made me think, okay, this is a machine I can get on with. And I think the general trend is very good, because a lot of technology we battle with, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes, I'm cursing at my mobile phone or my computer because it just doesn't get me, And I'm going, look, how can you be so stupid? Look, of course I want to save this.
Can you imagine how slow they used to be, though, Mark? We couldn't live with that speed anymore.
I know. But now, with this idea of sociable computing and sociable robotics, it might be that our relationship with computing starts to, or technology, becomes to be a bit more like friendship, where your computer will get what you want by the tone of your voice or the fact that you're shouting at it and go, oh, sorry, no, I understand. And to me, that would be brilliant. So, I talk about the book, The Various Versions of the Robotic Apocalypse, and I come to the conclusion after, a good few pages of analysis that whilst it's very attractive for science fiction writers and movie makers, the chances of it happening are almost zero, I would imagine.
I bet they'll be in war. I mean, we've got drones now and stuff, but I mean actual robotic soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got that kind of stuff happening to a certain degree. You've got drone aeroplanes. You've got the other problem we might have is with ubiquitous surveillance using nanotechnology. That's a very real worry that people with a very, very
like
small
a little
robot
fly with a camera on.
Exactly that kind of stuff. But again, with all these things, there's always an immune system that comes with it. So we worry, for instance, about internet privacy, but you can get a firewall, you can encrypt your stuff. People worry about nano surveillance. Well, there will be a technology that allows you to detect if there's anything in your area or whatever. So there's always this kind of arms race between technology and the things that will protect you from it. And we've always had that, and we've always seemed to manage to do okay with it. But certainly warfare is going to become a lot more roboticized and computerized. I mean, one of the things I looked into with exoskeletons, where you can put this kind of robotic shell around a soldier, and now he can lift 200 pounds continuously without worrying about it, for an hour at a time. Because he's got this exoskeleton, so you've got these super soldiers, which is this merging of robotic technology and human technology. That is, again, has brilliant implications for people who may be disabled, and now they can start to walk again with these technologies. But also, you can still use those technologies to increase the power of your warfare.